there are about 350,000 chemicals and chemical mixtures registered for use globally. 350,000. You understand? We live in a toxic world. Babies, they're looking at the fluid and the umbilical cords of newborns, and they already have a couple of hundred chemicals before they even come out of their mother's womb.
Oh, that's sad to hear. Just from the environment, or basically what we're ingesting?
What we're breathing, the water we're drinking, the food we're eating.
Welcome to the Immigrant Experience in America, an immigrant human library, where we amplify and humanize the experiences of immigrants in the United States and around the world. Listen in as we add another story to our immigrant human library.
Hello, friends, and thanks for joining us again on another episode of the Immigrant Experience in America. Today we have Marcy Keenan joining us, who will be speaking to us today about food, the food industry, its history, where we are now, and some of her advocacy work. Welcome, Marcy.
Thank you so much, Simone. Thank you for inviting me.
Awesome. Yes, and thanks for accepting the invitation and joining, making time for us today. So Marcy, tell us a little bit about Marcy and, you know, what brings us to where you are in life at this moment and your work.
Sure. So Marcy Keenan, I am founder of the Preventive Lifestyle Assistance Network. That's a company that I launched in 2019 in partnership with the CDC, which has a program called the National Diabetes Prevention Program. And so I started to, my company was a provider of that program. And we launched at my church here in Harlem. And we had an in-person version of that program, which is for people who are at risk of type 2 diabetes. So some are pre-diabetic. There are certain, they're en route to being type 2 diabetics. And the point is to reverse that course through this National Diabetes Prevention Program. And so, you know, I started the program. I had an online version as well as an in-person version. And the pandemic hit. So I was very happy that I could transition my people onto the platform that I had for a virtual presentation. So I've been working with people with chronic illnesses. I personally, you know, had asthma as a kid. And so, you know, I've dealt with some of those issues myself. In 2012, I, you know, was making a life transition, and I spoke to one of my mentors. We both worked in the music industry for many years, and she suggested, knowing that I was a fitness enthusiast, that I become a fitness trainer. So that's what I did. I you know, became an IFPA certified fitness trainer. I was in Las Vegas at that time. Started training at Gold's Gym, had my first private client. And then my mother asked me to come back to New York City in 2013. And so I continued training at Equinox downtown and then Blink in Harlem. So I was involved in a gut health program in a test group for a new product that dealt with gut health. And in the private group, one of the young ladies asked, how can we find out more about gut health? The co-creator of this program suggested that we listen to one of her podcasts featuring a gentleman by the name of Dr. Will Boltsowitz. And so I immediately went over to the podcast. Listen, I started ordering his book, Fiber Fueled, right away. I was very impressed with this information he had and the way he delivered it. He's one of these people who knows how to really break down information. He's a gastroenterologist, but he's very effective. He's very effective on social media. It was during the course of reading the book on Fiber Fueled where he mentioned a couple of chemicals, food additives that are disruptive to gut health. And the reason I'm mentioning this is because, you know, we read books. There are people who will tell you, I saw this play. You know, I read this book. I had this incident that becomes life-altering for us. I'm sure you have your own versions of that, Simone. And for me to read in this book about the generally recognized as safe provision that literally gave, and this is going back to 1958 because I've now started researching and preparing blogs about it, this particular provision to a piece of legislation that actually enhanced the safety of food for Americans. This provision was requested by the food companies who you know, didn't want to spend the money that it takes to test stuff. They felt that it hampered their innovation. So they proposed that for more leniency. In fact, the FDA gave them the authority. Okay, gave the FDA transferred its authority to regulate the food companies and gave them the authority to decide what additives are safe to put in our food supply, right? So I read this and then he gave a stat and he said, we have over 10,000 additives in our food supply as a result, right? 99% have not been tested. So I'm thinking, because you might be like me, I assume, and we won't say on here where that leads to when we make assumptions, I assume that the foods packaged so lovely in our, you know, grocery stores, and some of which are in our pantries now, have been fully vetted. I mean, we have the FDA, the USDA, and a bunch of other acronyms, right? But this man is exposing the fact that the food companies are actually making this decision. And I'll tell you the problem with that. And please, Simone, cut me off when you need to. Their primary goal is to make money, right? And even if it's at our expense. So, and that's a problem. We're going to get more into the comparisons of other countries, which allows us, you know, to know you guys can do it differently because you do it. You do it differently for other countries who won't allow certain chemicals or food additives to be used that they know are endocrine disruptors, carcinogens, and a bunch of other stuff. These additives are deemed unfit for human consumption in the UK, in the EU, in Japan, and other countries. So the companies here will remove them. And if you go on to Instagram, you will see advocates like the Food Babe, FOODBABE, showing a product and the ingredients here, UK, here, United States, and showing in red all of the various extra chemicals and our versions that they weren't allowed to put in the versions for the overseas markets, right? But they leave them in. And even if someone here is not doing studies, their regulatory agencies are. So this is, you know, I didn't wake up, I didn't read Fiber Fueled to become a food safety activist. But once I've learned about this and I see the weight of lobbyists for food companies and various people. You can kind of see their influence among influencers, right? It's very hard to sift through information. You don't know who's getting paid to say certain things or to push certain agendas. So it was upsetting to me because a lot of it is marketed to us very young. I was the queen of cereal. Believe me, I was one of the earlier victims, you know, for the food industry. And that's where a lot of this, you know, the colorful foods, a lot of those colors and dyes are not good for our bodies.
Wow, you're dropping a lot of information there. And so I'm wondering, many would argue we live in the richest country in the world. There's so many resources here. Like, how are we in this place? How did we get here?
Five letter word. Can you guess it? Starts with a G, ends with a D, and it's five letters.
Start with a G and, oh, greed.
You get a car. You get a car. Yes. You need to go on that new show, that people show, the puzzle show. That was pretty good. Yes, greed. It really is. And I take it a step further to say it's capitalism gone awry. Please don't say that I'm a socialist because I said this. Everything has to have, you know, like the people who are pro deregulation are not privy. They're not reading about the state of the earth right now, you know, with regulations, right? We have chemicals. There are about 350,000 chemicals and chemical mixtures registered for use globally. 350,000. You understand? We live in a toxic world. Babies, they're looking at the fluid and the umbilical cords of newborns, and they already have a couple of hundred chemicals before they even come out of their mother's womb.
Oh, that's sad to hear. Just from the environment or basically what we're ingesting?
What we're breathing, the water we're drinking, the food we're eating. Yeah. The clothes we're wearing, the products we're washing our hair with, right? You know, it's everywhere. Chemicals are, you know, for our convenience most of the time. You know, the shirt that you have that was sold to you because you don't have to iron it. Ah, oh, that's so great. But what's the chemical that they've used for that purpose, right? We don't think about these things. So there are people in labs trying to create things for our convenience. Oh, we love the smell of fresh clothes, right? We want to put in a sheet of this. What is that in the sheet? What is that? You know, we don't ask any of these questions because we assume that these products are safe. And many of them are not. So.
Oh, I tell you, lately, I'm just really coming to the idea that it takes work just to live in this country. Like you can't be asleep. You have to just be actively reading, talking to people, researching. And I mean, like, where do you put your trust? It's really sad.
Well, you have, if when you're reading, first of all, some of the stuff we cannot control, right? There's more that we can do that people, you know, we assume other people are going to take care of it. And obviously, I fell into that category, too. I never thought to be an activist, you know. Somebody's taking care of that, I'm sure, who has that interest. But the food companies and the various companies, they're very intentional. And yes, we have to be more intentional. Because there's a lot of information. I mean, I read in a best-selling book, over a million other people read the same book. In fact, I spoke to one of the big executives at Health First because I was so excited about this book. Have you read Fiber Fueled? Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And she says, oh, that's like my Bible. Now, she's a big wig at Health First, which is a leading insurance, what do they call them? They're like an intermediary. And it's her Bible. But the part about the grass loophole didn't strike her the way it struck me, right? Because it's in the book that, you know, that sold over, it sold a lot of copies. The best New York Times bestseller.
Right.
So the impression I get, and this is what I hope to change, is that you've heard them say, you know, oh, the banks are too big to fail, right? You've heard that term before, have you?
I have, yes. 2008, recent times.
Yeah, too big to fail, right?
Silicon Valley stuff.
So they had to be rescued with our money, mind you. So the food companies, you know, I think we look at these systems and they're Goliaths to us. And not enough of us have faith to challenge the systems. These systems were built so they can be dismantled. That's the way I look at it. But it will take a collective of us to make that happen. That's what's missing. The lobbyists are not missing. They're getting millions of dollars to go into the halls of Congress and to, you know, get legislation passed or stopped that benefits us, the people. But where are we, right? During the civil rights movement, we were marching. We were boycotting, right? A lot happened in Alabama because we didn't get on the bus and they went broke. So, you know, there are some people leading a boycott right now against Kellogg's because of.
Really? I didn't hear that.
Yeah. Food Babe, she has almost 80,000 signatures for her petition because they said they would take out some flavoring that's not good for the kids, and they never did. So there are people who will say, because they, you know, we have short memories now, and that's something else. I hope to work with younger people because they have a different sense. So this is the sort of, we live in a world today, Simone, where when you do get a victory, you can't rest on your laurels about it, right? We see that happening there are a lot of victories that happened years ago, and you see it all being taken away right now, right? The freedom to choose what you want to do with your body. I'm not getting into anything other than it's my body, right? And I shouldn't have to go to court about my body, a decision between me and my husband, right? So there's a lot of issues, you know, a lot of gerrymandering and different things going on so that certain specific people will lose their right to vote. This is all coming back. And now people have even more potent technology to make things happen on a whole nother level now, right? So we have to get involved in the process. Senators Cory Booker from New Jersey and his counterpart Edward Markey have co-sponsored the Ensuring Safe and Toxic Free Food Act. And some of the suggestions in it gives the authority back to the FDA. You know, part of the reason why sometimes they don't do their job as effectively is because they're not funded as much as they should be. So, you know, this was presented a second time in November of last year. It languished in 2022. And so they've reintroduced it. but the average person doesn't know about it. So one of the things that I'm going to do is create a petition as well that supports the legislation that helps us get a healthier, you know, food supply, right? There is California for the first time, Governor Gavin Newsom banned four food additives that are deemed unfit for human consumption in other countries. See, that's what's making this. This is a great part about interdependence and the internet, and you know, because when you're creating products for another marketplace that are taking care of their people and their regulations are up to par, what do you say to us, right? The FDA, and you said in the richest country in the world, we should be a lot better off.
Well, not just me. I'm sure a lot of people will debate that, right? And we have so much here. I've traveled to different places. And I mean, wealth is defined differently, but I think the U.S. has such abundance and rule of law. We talk about it all the time about how powerful the rule of law here in this country is. And so people kind of expect that to work in your favor. So I'm really shocked to hear that. But, you know, a lot of times everyday citizens, we go on with our lives and we don't really pay attention. There's so much going on. We get distracted by social media, everyday life and other stuff that shows up as news bites. But we don't really go underneath that to really find out like what's really going on. So I'm happy that you're sharing that.
It's interesting you say that. Someone posted in LinkedIn today. There's a lot of bubbling of these chemicals and toxins, a lot of talk about it. We're being poisoned, you know, and that's what's happening. Whether intentional or not, it's happening. The negative effect of these toxins on our bodies is sickening us, and we're dying prematurely. Our longevity is down. You know, the U.S., the lifespan is short. It has been shortened for the first time in decades, right? We're not living as long, and we're not living the quality of life with all the abundance that we have. Because there's a couple of reasons for it, really. Again, I think it's capitalism gone awry. I think that's the real issue. Food companies should, the entity that has the privilege of feeding a population, right, should be concerned about the health of that population. They shouldn't just be concerned about their bottom line. And that's the problem, right? There's rule of law, but there's a lot of ways, as we're seeing every day in the news, to skirt the law. There are people who specialize in getting around the law. They know the weaknesses in our system, and they know how to get around it, right? So there may be rule of law for you and me, but the food companies, or even the language that they use, you can't say... it will kill you. It might, but you know, because they can sue you. They can come and say, that's not scientifically, it's not evidence-based, but they're a bunch of bodies. You know what I mean? They're a bunch of bodies. Can't prove it. It's not, you know, causation doesn't lead to, I hear the same language. And it's ways that people skirt around being everything can't be about money. That's the bottom line. There was a time, Simone, in our country where when you started a business, part of the application process was that you had to prove that your company and your service was a benefit to the community.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Somebody got rid of that. Yeah, it used to be part of the process. But now people start companies, whether it's a benefit to the community or not. Right? So I don't want this to be, because there's a lot of people screaming, fire, fire. I'm one of them. I've been warned about it, but to me, it is a 3-alarm, 4-alarm, 5-alarm fire. But how do you help people whose lives are already that, right? They can't pay their bills. They can't afford to buy this, blah, blah, blah. You know, we are so distracted by our own personal lives. Then on top of it, our business lives. And then on top of that, everything on the outside that if you watch the news, you know, it becomes overwhelming. And if you're digging deep into this like I am, it really does become overwhelming. So I have to stay prayed up to even go down this road, right? Because you're talking a road where you're challenging the systems of this world. I believe it's spiritual, personally. I believe that everything is happening is spiritual and nature. Because literally, these are our temples. And people in position who could nurture these temples are destroying them. That's what's happening, right? We're living, you know, we're living shorter periods of time. And then the quality of life. So, yeah, I've made it to 60, but I'm spending more time in dialysis, right? Mm-hmm. One of my counterparts, I was trying to get him to work with me with the diabetes prevention program. He was recommending his daughter. She needs it as well. But now he's lost his lower right leg to type 2 diabetes.
Wow.
So we're having amputations. We're having all kinds of chronic diseases. They're giving us medicine that is not curing it. It is masking symptoms, right? I have an inhaler. If my chest gets tight and I use the pump, it'll clear it up. But I still have asthma, right? So, the interventions we need are lifestyle oriented. That's what's needed. And in this country, even when you're trying to eat well, you got to worry about the glyphosate. I hope I pronounced that right. It's new, you know, it's everywhere. And it's another thing that's a problem. They're trying to kill bugs, trying to do all of that. But now this stuff is in our food and then it's in our bodies. So, you know, it's a lot going on and it's impacting us in a horrible way. And people who come, you were talking about when I trained, I had a couple of people, one girl from Australia, you know, she says, my God, I've gained like 30 pounds. I heard that story a couple of times. She says, in Australia, you know, where I live, I have to get in a car and I have to go somewhere to get food. I step out of my apartment here and there's a deli here, is a deli, you know, a pizza shop. And once you start getting into that food, it's addictive. Casein and cheese is addictive, right? Sugar and everything. Why is sugar in this? Because they want you to keep coming back. They want you to keep eating what you're eating, right? There's no, we go haphazardly not know, what am I going to eat today? We don't plan when we're going to eat. We don't plan when we're going to exercise. We don't plan things, but there's someone planning for you. People think that they're eating certain things because they want to. No. The neuroscientists and these people are making sure you eat these foods because of the chemicals that are in them, because of the sugar that's in them. It's very deliberate. because they're trying to sell you a product that they want you to eat for life. Does that make sense?
Oh, definitely, definitely. I'm having so many questions as I listen. And so I'm wondering, you know, these folks who are in the positions that are making the decision to choose greed or money over humanity and what we put in our bodies, I mean, aren't their families impacted? Like, this is the question. I'm like, we're all living here. The resources are here. We can make healthier choices, right? And it's actually more expensive to probably go to Whole Foods or Trader Joe's or some of the other farmers markets to buy organically grown things. So I'm wondering, like, are they not being impacted?
So I was reading a book called Food Politics or The Politics of Food by a woman named Marion Nestle, spelt like Nestle. She's a goddess in this field. You know, she works down at NYU, and she was talking about, I hope it was her, because I read so much, I start mixing the people where I got the stories from. The guy who created Lunchables for Oscar Mayer, you know, the little Lunchables?
Yes.
Well, guess what? When someone went to interview him at his house and he says, oh, you guys must have tons of Lunchables in the refrigerator. And she says, well, the husband was really focused on that. And so she says, well, yeah, you know, for his mistress, kind of that was the project, you know, but we don't eat that. Our kids don't eat that. So a lot of times people do not eat, including celebrities, you know, stuff that they promote. There's a guy called Michael F. Jacobson. Same guy, Dr. Boltzowitz, he had a summit, and I got to hear this man speak. He stumbled into becoming a food additives expert. He is the person who led the charge in getting trans fats. Remember that whole deal? Out of our food supply. Do you know how trans fats got into our food supply?
No, educate us, please.
Through the generally recognized as safe loophole. So they use the loophole that I'm complaining about to put trans fats in without proper testing and studying them. It took Michael F. Jacobson and advocates 13 years to get trans fats out of the food supply. So this is not easy. This may, you know, at my age, I want some young people involved in this in case I'm out of here before there is the change we're looking for, right? And even if there isn't, that people keep it top of mind. You know how they say when you forget history, you will repeat it?
Yes.
This is one thing I'm already learning. We cannot rest on the laurels of any victories. We have to pick the next battle, and we have to continually watch and make sure there's not the next piece of legislation to weaken what we've already fought for. Right? So, Michael F. Jacobson, his plight now is to make sure that the food industry can't use, that it's limited in terms of the amount of sugar and salts that they can put in our foods. So now, someone put up a post today in LinkedIn, and it was from the FDA, making light because of all of the hoopla. They had to respond, but their response is going, I'm going to send you the link to the FDA's response, right today or yesterday.
So what is this issue about that they're responding to?
They're about the talk about chemicals in our food.
Okay.
Right. So they took the route of, and you've heard that, we're made of chemicals. You know, our bodies are a bunch of chemical reactions and blah, blah, blah. So they went that route. And then they used an example, you know, like, because people are saying, this food that you're serving us, you're then using it, you know, this is the petrol, like Vaseline is petrol. A lot of this stuff is oil-based stuff, right? Vegetable oil. It sounds like it doesn't come from vegetables. It's one of the worst oils. These oils are rancid. They, you know, at certain levels, they're poisonous. There's certain oils, they almost make them sound healthy. Vegetable oil, that sounds healthy, doesn't it? It's not, right? So they use the example, you're going to love this, of vinegar. Well, you know, you use vinegar in your food, and yes, some of you use vinegar to clean. You see where they're going with this? So they're downplaying and minimizing when people complain about the toxic stuff that shouldn't be in our food. So their approach was, and I was shocked, the person who wrote the article, who, you know, shared their article, they were gaslighting in this article. Their idea was not to protect you. The idea was to allay the fears of anyone who's hearing about these chemicals. That's what their approach was. I was very disheartened to read what they wrote. I said, wow. So that's your answer to the angst that's out here? Like, you know, everything is chemicals. Water's chemicals. This is, can we know that? We all took chemistry at a certain point. But a lot of this stuff isn't man-made, concocted chemicals meant to give a dopamine hit to us so that we will act like heroin and cocaine addicts to have, you know, a pastry. I was shocked.
It's really sad. It's really sad because it just feels like, in order to stay alive, it's like a battle. When you wake up every day of like putting the effort to figure out like what is safe. I heard someone telling me recently, like there are certain fruits and you have to be careful because of the pesticides or whatever they use, fertilizers to spray on them, right, that because they hold water, like he mentioned, broccoli and several others, and how it's not safe to eat because they hold certain stuff that's sprayed on them, and you might take it home, wash it, and think it's okay, but it still has residue on it. And so it's unsettling. And I know the average person, you know, who just goes to work and just want, I can only afford to just go to the grocery store and buy what they can afford to buy, don't really have time to do all this research to figure out what's going on, or even to lobby or to be active in this space politically, right? They don't even understand the whole conversation. And it's really sad. I knew that something was wrong because I knew when I would travel outside and I would be away, I would feel my body just like, I don't know if detoxing is the proper word. Like, I feel like the weight would just fall off of me and I would eat everything I wanted, everything, whether it's carbs, fried food, whatever. And the weight would fall off and I come back and I would just gain the weight like in a blink. And I just cannot understand. It's like a battle constantly. I have to stay working out. I have to do my green smoothie cleanses to kind of clean my gut. Like, stuff just sits in your belly like, and you see a lot of people with like their stomachs just big because there's a lot of toxic foods just sitting in their guts.
Yeah, antibiotics, that wipes out your gut flora. It screws you up. You got to rebuild that. Fermented foods and different protocols.
Join us again next time for part two of this episode.
Friends, as always, please subscribe, comment, and share if you enjoyed this interview. If you're passionate about telling immigrant stories, our team is looking for help. If you're willing to help with podcast production, social media, or Patreon management, please reach out to us. You can also donate on our Patreon if it's easier for you. All the links are in the description below. Thank you.
We thank our listeners around the world, and we appreciate your continued support as we build our human library. Please remember to give us a 5-star review, subscribe, and share with your friends, family, and circle of influence.